Today I'm sitting in Harry Havelock's house in Rampart, Alaska, and it's July 30th, 1973. Harry is the, I guess you'd call him an assistant, not an assistant, but a district judge, magistrate, justice of the peace, what in Fairbanks is called district judge, and still referred to, I think, in this area as magistrate. I have in front of me a book dating back to 1900. This is taken from Harry's, from the magistrate's files here in Rampart. It's the docket, Justice of the Peace. The first case entered is December 29th, 1900. It's United States of America versus L. Ketchison. And the complaint was filed by Godfrey Kunkel. I'm not sure about the spelling of that. The charge, use of abusive and obscene language in a public place. Same date, the entire proceedings, the charge, the trial, fine, completion of the case, all completed December 29th, 1900. The warrant was issued. The warrant was returned and filed. The defendant was brought into court. The complaint read to the defendant by the Justice of the Peace, the ex officio Justice of the Peace, he calls himself. Defendant pleaded guilty. The following judgment was entered. Justice Court for the Precinct of Rampart, District of Alaska, Division No. 3. Quote, the above-named L. Ketchison, having been brought before me, Andrew J. Ballou, B-A-L-L-I-E-T, a commissioner and ex officio justice of the peace, in a criminal action for the crime of using obscene and abusive language in a public place to the annoyance of Godfrey Kunkel, and the said L. Ketchum having been therefore duly convicted upon a plea of guilty, I have adjudged that he pay a fine of $5 and the cost in this proceedings amounting to $8. Signed, Audrey J. Ballou, Commissioner and Ex Officio Justice of the Peace. Defendant paid fine and costs and is discharged. Another entry in this same book is dated December 19th, 1900. It's the coroner's inquest on the body of Joseph Muldowner, M-U-L-D-O-W-N-E-R. The Justice of the Peace, or the Commissioner, was notified of the death of J.L. Muldowner. The summons to the following jurors in the inquest. M.N. Kimball, J.E. Rizdu, Lynn Smith, J.B. Duncan, John Nelson, Walter Foley. Each one was paid $2.20. Total of $2.20 each. That's $2 for serving on the inquest jury, plus 10 cents a mile travel, each one having traveled 2 miles to the inquest, apparently. At any rate, each one was paid $2.20, total of $13.20 dispersed for the inquest jury. Well, let's see, he added two more. The 19th, he added he issued two subpoenas for witnesses, and those subpoenas were for T.M. Crawford and George C-A-B-A-I-N-I-S, it looks like. He's a soldier at Rampart, Alaska. They also were given $2.20 each for 10 cents a mile. Let's see. Well, 10 cents a mile, yeah, 2 miles. Next entry shows Dr. H.V. Tweedy, M.D., was present at the time Joseph Muldowner died and continued in attendance during the inquest, showing and examining the wounds of the deceased and giving expert opinion to the jury. Inquest held at 5 o'clock p.m. in the sleeping room of Ben F. Baker, agent for the NAT&T Company at Rampart in Rampart, Alaska. The juries being first duly sworn according to the law, and the witnesses having been first duly sworn to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and the juries having heard the evidence of the witnesses and the expert witness, and their having retired and deliberated, rendered the following verdict, quote, "We, the coroner's jury, find that the person of the deceased was Joseph Muldowner, that he died on the 19th day of December 1900 at the home of," and then it says 2:30 o'clock p.m., "in the NAT&T Company's agent sleeping room in Rampart, Alaska, and that his death was caused by gunshot wounds inflicted by Dan," I wish I could read that a little better. Looks like L-E-A-R-O-L-A-N. "About the time of 3 p.m., December 17th, 1900, at Rampart, Alaska. Signed by Kimball, Rizdu, Smith, Duncan, Nelson, Foley, the jurors." Another entry in this same book is dated January 11th, 1901. Charges trespass. The complaint was filed by Herbert A. Currier, charging the defendant, an Indian, with the crime of trespass. In the court proceedings, the Indian is called, the state is, the case is United States versus Indian Frank, number 2, trespass. Warrant was issued for the arrest of the defendant. The defendant was arrested and brought before the commissioner, and the warrant returned. The complaint and charge read to the defendant, Arthur Wright, a half-breed, acting as interpreter. Arthur Wright is the interpreter for Indian Frank. The defendant being represented by counsel E.J. Knapp, K-N-A-P-P, Esquire, under the advice of counsel, pled guilty to the charge. The defendant was fined $2 in costs, as appears in the following order. Justice Court of the Rampart, Precinct District of Alaska, Division No. 3, United States. The above-named Indian Frank, having been brought before me, Andrew J. Ballou, B-A-L-L-I-E-T, Ballet, a commissioner and ex officio justice of the peace, in a criminal action for the crime of trespass, and the said Indian Frank, having been therefore duly convicted upon a plea of guilty, I have adjudged that he pay a fine of $5 and the cost in this proceedings amounting to $8.85, in all the sum of $13.85. Noted further that on this same date the defendant paid the fine and costs and all of the sum, in all, the sum of $13.85. He was discharged. The interpreter waived the fee for interpreting in the open court. Another case brought before the same commissioner is an assault and battery case. It's titled United States versus John Welsh, W-E-L-S-H, dated February 4th, 1901. The complaint made and filed by Julius Ramsouf? I'm not sure about that. The warrant issued and the warrant was issued and delivered to the U.S. Marshal. The warrant returned by the officer with the prisoner. I, the undersigned, do hereby certify that I executed the within warrant on the 4th day of February, 1901, at Rampart, Alaska, by arresting and bringing the defendant named herein before Andrew J. Ballet, Belay, B-A-L-L, I'll call him Belay for the lack of understanding, B-A-L-L-I-E-T, U.S. Commissioner at Rampart, District of Alaska, signed by Goffrey Kunkel, Deputy U.S. Marshal for the District of Alaska, 3rd Division. The complaint read to the defendant, charging him of the crime of assault and battery. Defendant pleaded guilty to the charge. Defendant was fined $10 and cost at $9.50. Justice Court for the Rampart Precinct, District of Alaska, District Number 3. United States versus John Welch. The above named John Welch, having been brought before me, Andrew J. Belay, Commissioner and Ex Officio Justice of the Peace in the criminal action for the crime of assault and battery, and the said John Welch, having been therefore duly convicted upon a plea of guilty, I have adjudged that he pay a fine of $10 and the cost in this proceedings, $9.50. John Welch, who was found guilty on his plea of guilty, paid a total of $19.50. The defendant was discharged. It's all on February 4th, 1901. On March 16th, 1901, in the Commissioner's Court in Rampart, is case number 5, a criminal case, United States versus William Huser, H-U-S-E-R. The charge, giving whiskey to Indians. I'll just read through this docket. On March 16, 1901, the complaint sworn to, same date the warrant was issued and delivered to Godfrey Kunkel, the marshal. Defendant arraigned and pleaded not guilty. Case set for Tuesday, March 19, 1901, at 10:30 a.m. The prisoner committed for trial. Defendant demanded jury trial but makes no deposit. The District of Alaska, Rampart Precinct. I do hereby certify that I rescind the within warrant on the 16th day of March 1901 and I received the within warrant on the 16th day of March 1901 and served and returned the same on the same day by arresting the witness within named defendant at Rampart. Signed by George G. Perry, United States Marshal for the District of Alaska, by Godfrey Kunkel, Deputy. Issued subpoena to H.M. Dickman for the plaintiff. Case called and continued until March 25, 1901, at 10:30 a.m. on account account of a material witness for the prosecution to be brought from Tanana, 75 miles, and by the consent of the defendant. On March 23rd, issued jury order. March 23rd, another entry by the deputy marshal. I hereby do certify that I received the within writ of subpoena and on the 18th day of March, 1901, and served the same upon the within named H.M. Dirkman, D-E-I-C-H-M-A-N, at Tanana, District of Alaska, on the 19th day of March, 1901, and returned the same on the 23rd day of March, 1901. signed by Godfrey Gunkel, Constable. He calls himself Constable here. Okay, and the same man swears or certifies on March 23rd again. I do here certify that I received the within jury order on March 23rd, 1901, and that on the same day I summoned the following persons: J.W. Duncan, John W. Duncan, Gus Henke, H-E-N-K-E, W.F. Hyatt, Sam I. Chase, H.W. Walbridge, S.G. Randall, J.B. Wingate, H. Horn, C.S. Knapp, C.H. Morris, I. Jones, and that I returned the same on the said 23rd day of March 1901, dated at Rampart, Alaska, March 23rd, 1901. The jury was accepted and sworn with the three jurors summoned by from the bystanders, George Keating, Lois Iverson, and Ole Throen, it looks like. Defendant moved to quash the information and discharge the prisoner because more than one offense is charged, which motion is denied by the court and accepted by the defendant, which exception is allowed. Defendant moved to dismiss the proof. It's difficult to read all of these entries here. Sorry, I can't read all of this man's writing. I'll skip down where after the witnesses were called and testified, the defendant rested his case and the counsel argued the case to the jury. The jury, instructed by the court, and the jury retired. The verdict rendered by the jury, quote, guilty as charged. The charge was giving whiskey to Indians. Defendant, by his counsel, moved to set aside the verdict, which was denied and exception allowed. Defendant, in this cause, was represented in all the proceedings by counsel J.D. Green. E.J. Knapp prosecuted the case on the part of the government, affidavit for release filed by J. Lindby Green under Pauper Act, petition granted and prisoner discharged. See files for receipt of disbursements. Case number 6, entered in 1901, is against United States versus Ben. Sorry, I can't read his name, but it's the same charge, giving whiskey to Indians. In this case, the jury rendered a verdict of not guilty. The defendant discharged. Another case recorded in the docket book in Rampart. This is dated March. First entry is March 16th, 1901. The case, United States versus Jacob Nielsen, N-I-L-L-S-O-N. A notation made underneath. True name is not known. The charge, giving whiskey to Indians. The warrant was delivered to the deputy marshal and the defendant was brought into court by the arresting officer. The complaint was read to the defendant and asked to plead to the charge. Defendant was represented by counsel J.L. Green, who on behalf of the defendant asked the defendant be granted something or other, I can't read that word, to plead until Wednesday, March 27, 1901, at 11 o'clock a.m. The motion was granted. That was on March 23rd, the motion was granted. The defendant was brought into court on March 23rd, 1901. The defendant held under $200 bond, which he raised to comply with, and is remanded into the custody of the marshal until such time when he may furnish said bond or is legally discharged. March 27th, 1901, defendant brought into court, represented by counsel J. L. Green, and after the complaint being read to the defendant, he pleaded not guilty. Counsel for defendant moved the court to dismiss the action and discharge the defendant, first because the complaint is vague and indefinite and fails to charge the defendant with any crime. Second, what if the complaint does charge the defendant with a crime? It charges the defendant with two crimes, either of which would be a crime under the law. He repeats himself there, either of which. Still on March 27th, the motion denied and duly accepted, to which exception is allowed. Prosecution by E.J. Knapp moved to postpone the trial of the issues for 1 week because there is a material witness to be obtained from Tananaw. Motion denied. Case set for trial March 29th, 1901 at 11 a.m. Subpoena issued at request on the 27th. Notation on the 29th of March. Prosecution moved to dismiss the action against the defendant for want of a material witness, which witness cannot be obtained. The motion was granted and the defendant is discharged. Signed by the same deputy marshal, I hereby certify and return that I serve the annexed warrant of arrest on the therein named Jacob Nielsen and taking the said Jacob Nielsen into my custody at Tananaw in the said district on the 19th day of March, 1901. On March 21st, 1901, the commissioner has case number 9. It's United States versus Valerie Myers. The charge, assault and battery. The complaint was made and verified by Ella Williams and filed. The warrant issued and placed into the hands of H.H. Porter, special deputy in the absence of Godfrey Kunkel, deputy U.S. Marshal. Defendant brought into court, complaint read to her, and pleaded not guilty. Case set for hearing on March 22nd at 11 a.m. Defendant released on her own recognizance and $25 bond. March 27th, defendant demanded a jury trial when the case was called. That must have been March 22nd. Looks like a 7, but 22nd. Again, on the 22nd, the case set for March 23rd at 10 o'clock a.m. This deputy marshal writes in here, I do hereby certify that I received the witness warrant and on the 21st day of March 1901, and that I served the same on the said 21st day of March 1901 and returned it by arresting the defendant named therein at Rampart, signed by George G. Perry, U.S. Marshal for the District of Alaska, by H.H. Porter, Special Deputy. On March 22nd, issued subpoena for the plaintiff and delivered into hands of Constable On March 23rd, the case was called and jury of 12 present and sworn. Jury selected and sworn. It's all on the 23rd. Prosecuting witness absent. The case dismissed for want of prosecution. Verdict not guilty on peremptory instructions. We, the jury, in the above entitled cause, find the defendant not guilty. Signed by C.H. Knapp, S.E. Healer, Mike D.I.O.Y.E.R., Michael Esau, Chris Baker, H.L. Currier, Herman Weber, Lewis Iverson, S.A. Yantis, H.W. Walbridge, John Connors, Alex Carey, Foreman. Prosecution was instructed probable cause. Judgment given against the prosecutor, Ella Williams, for the case and disbursement in this action, taxed at $76.65. The said Ella Williams, not being able to pay the same and not giving the statutory security, I adjudge that she be confined in the Rampart Jail for 15 days or until said costs are paid by her. On the 23rd, Ella Williams pays $20 on account and is released until Monday at 9:30 a.m. And Ella Williams was the one who filed the complaint. There's a warrant attached in here that reads, United States, signed by the commissioner, United States versus Valerie Myers. The above-named Valerie Myers, having been brought before me, Andrew J. Belay, a commissioner and ex-official justice of the peace, in the criminal action for the crime of assault and battery, and the said Valerie Myers having thereupon pleaded not guilty and been duly tried by a jury, and upon which trial found not guilty, and the private prosecutor, Ella Williams, having been duly subpoenaed to appear at the trial and having disobeyed said writ, and it thereupon appearing that the prosecution was by the said Ella Williams instituted maliciously and without probable cause, I have adjudged that the said Ella Williams pay the cost in this action, taxed at $80.60, and that in the event that she fail to pay the said cost, that she be confined to the Rampart Jail not to exceed 12 days, signed by the Commissioner and Justice of the Peace. So I guess Ella Williams brought the charge, they called the jury, brought in the Valerie Myers, who was accused of the assault and battery, and then Ella Williams failed to show up. April 20th, 1901, case number 11. It's United States versus A.B. Austin. The charge was it's not listed here at the top of the entry, but here is the commissioner's entry on the judgment. The above name, A.B. Austin, having been brought before me, Andrew J. Belay, a commissioner and ex-official justice of the peace, in a criminal action for the crime of using obscene language in a public place to the annoyance of Andrew J. Belay, and the said A.B. Austin having thereupon pleaded guilty, and the said A.B. Austin having thereupon been duly convicted upon a plea of guilty, I have adjudged that he pay a fine of $25 and the cost of this action taxed at $9.45. Next entry, next case, hearing before the commissioner, is one of trespass, United States versus H.B. Carden, C-A-R-D-E-N. This is May 6th, 1901. Commissioner notes, the above name, H.B. Carden, having been brought before me in a criminal action for the crime of trespass, December 6th, 67, Chapter 3 of Act of Congress of March 3, 1899, and the H.B. Carden having thereupon been duly convicted upon a plea of guilty, I have adjudged that he pay a fine of $30 and cost of action taxed at $9.45, and in all the sum of $39.45, and in fault of this payment of said fine to be imprisoned in the Rampart Jail for the period of 19 and a half days. On May 7th, 1907, there's an entry, case number 13, United States versus Mary Doe Helen. And the last name, Helen, is written in quotation marks, so apparently it's an assumed name. Mary Doe doesn't sound like a very authentic name either for a first name. At any rate, the complaint was made by the deputy marshal. I won't go through the entire case, but the case was set for May 8th, and the defendant was brought in. Complaint and warrant were issued on May 7th. The defendant was brought into court on May 8th and refused to plead. She was committed for trial. And the case continued until 3 o'clock p.m. The case was dismissed at the insistence of the prosecuting witness, Godfrey Gunkel, the deputy marshal, because the offense was one of, quote, profane language, end quote, instead of obscene language, as shown by the testimony of the prosecuting witness. We'll continue on the next reel. This isn't the end of Mary Doe Hillen. There's another case filed, and she's in court again the next day. This is another continuation of... On May 8th, 1901, the case of United States versus Mary Doe Hillen. Hillen in quotation marks. Earlier this day, she'd been in the same court, but the case was dismissed because the charge was one of profane language instead of obscene language, as shown by the testimony of the prosecuting witness, so the case was dropped. But she apparently was immediately right back in court, and another complaint filed and warrant issued, and she was back in, and she pleaded, this is back on same day, May 8th, 1901, she pleaded not guilty. The commissioner notes on the disposition of this case, the above named Mary Doe Hillen, having been brought before me in a criminal action for the crime of using, quote, profane language, end quote, in a public place to the annoyance of persons, and the said Mary Doe Hillen having therefore pleaded not guilty and having been duly tried by me and upon such trial duly convicted, I have adjudged that she pay a fine of $15 and the cost in this action, taxed at $13.30. And in the event that the defendant fail to pay such fine and cost, that she be committed to the Rampart Jail for the period of 13 days. Signed by the commissioner. And he notes here later that the defendant refused to pay the fine and cost and was committed. Defendant paid fine and cost at 9:30 p.m., May 8th, and was released. United States of America, Rampart District of Alaska. The deputy marshal says, I hereby certify and return that I serve the annexed judgment on the therein named defendant, Mary Doe Hillen, by committing the said Mary Doe Hillen to the Rampart Jail at Rampart in said district on May 8th, 1901. Case number 15, May 11th, 1901, United States versus John Morgan. The charge, using profane language in a public place. Must have been a rip-snortin' town, May of 1901. Case number 16, dated May 11th, 1901. The assault, the charge was assault and battery. Case United States versus M.T. M.E.L.H.A.W. It looks like. No, it's M.C. McGraw. M.T. McGraw. Commissioner notes that the above named M.T. McGraw was brought before him in a criminal action for the crime of assault and battery, and the said M.T. McGraw having thereupon duly convicted upon a plea of guilty. I have adjudged that he pay a fine of $40 and the cost of this action, taxed at $10.95. Defendant paid the fine and costs, total of $50.95, and was discharged. Next entry is case number 12. It's against James B. Wingate versus H.W. Wallbridge. Forcible entry and detained. This case is a little bit confusing to me, and the court did adjudge that the defendant was guilty of forcibly detaining the possession of the premises described in the plaintiff's complaint. He's charged court costs and in the case. Next entry is June 30th, 1901. It's in the inquest on the body of James A. Geary. Notified of the death of James A. Geary on June 30th, issued a request for coroner's jury to the deputy marshal. Same date, the coroner's jury enters this notation in the commissioner's docket. We, the coroner's jury, in the inquest over the body of James A. Geary, find that the person was known to us as James A. Geary, that he died on the 30th of June, about between 8 and 9 a.m., 1901, in the Pioneer Saloon at Rampart, Alaska, and that his death was caused by unknown causes. From indications and circumstances surrounding his death, we are satisfied his death was not due to violence, but from some internal causes unknown to the jurors. Signing this are jurors Charles B. Allen, B. E. Lewis, J. C. Nelson, John Welsh, C. R. Peck, Lewis, B-A-L-I-E-R. Case number 17 is the United States versus J.J. Phillips. The charge, assault and battery. Date is July 26, 1901. The commissioner writes in the disposition of this case, the above named J.J. Phillips, having been brought before me, Andrew J. Belay, a commissioner and ex officio justice of the peace, in a criminal action for the crime of assault and battery, and the same J.J. Phillips having thereupon pleaded not guilty, and been duly tried by me, and upon such trial voluntarily confessed having used obscene language, of which the said J.J. Phillips having been duly convicted. I have adjudged that he pay a fine of $25 and the cost taxed at $15.05. Charged with assault and battery, he was found guilty of using profane language and fined. Should have had a lawyer in that case, I think. Next case is United States of America versus A.B. Austin, using profane and obscene language. Yep. Rampart was a pretty interesting place in 1901. Disposition of this case, Mr. A.B. Austin, who's charged with using profane and obscene language, got himself a lawyer and demanded a jury trial, but that didn't seem to help much because he was found guilty by the jury. He was ordered to pay a fine of $15 and the costs of the action, which were $48.90, in all, the sum of $63.90. So he was guilty, cost him more money. Another case, case number 19, is United States versus William Smith. Another case of obscene and profane language. Smith pleaded not guilty, but he had a jury trial, and the jury found him guilty, and he was fined $15 plus court costs, which were $48.80. So he didn't get off very easily. I wonder if he cleaned up his language. I wonder if any of them cleaned up their language. September 4th, 1901, United States versus Valerie Myers. Oh, Valerie, she's back in court again, using obscene and profane language in a public place. Tried on September 5th. Commissioner notes, the above-named Valerie Myers, having been brought before me in a criminal action for the crime of using profane and obscene language in a public place to the annoyance of persons in the said Valerie Myers, having thereupon pleaded and duly tried, and upon such trial been duly convicted upon a plea of guilty, I have adjudged that she pay a fine of $15 and cost of this action, taxed at $13.15. Total cost to Valerie that day was $28.15. She paid the fine, the cost, was discharged, went back to her work, whenever that was. Next entry in this volume is September 4th, 1901. It's United States versus John Doe, whose true name is not known. During the course of the trial, his true name came out, apparently, because written in a darker ink is the name Tom Sullivan, the charge larceny. Case number 22 on October 2nd, 1901, is United States of America versus R.A. Looks like Hester, H-E-S-T-E-R. The charge, assault and battery. Skip over a couple of pages here to case number 24 on October 14th, 1901. It's United States versus J.E. Hoagland and I. Looks like T-L-E-H-A-C-E. Complaint is trespass, using section 61 as the cause. Not the cause, but the authority. Next case, number 25, on October 14th, 1901, is also trespass. Case number 28, United States versus John Taggart. Taggart is charged with larceny. According to the commissioner's notations here in the log, that Taggart pleaded not guilty, but he was duly tried by the commissioner and found guilty and convicted. I'll skip over to December 14th, 1901, to case number 33. It's United States versus Babe, an Indian woman. I'll just read the disposition of the case as noted by the commissioner. The above named Babe, an Indian woman, having been brought before me, Andrew J. Belay, commissioner and ex officio justice of the peace, for a criminal action for the crime of giving whiskey to an Indian, and the said Babe, an Indian woman, having thereof been duly convicted upon a plea of guilty, I have adjudged that she be imprisoned in the Rampart Jail for the term of 3 months, and that she pay the cost of this action taxed at $14.15, and that if the said cost be not paid, that she be confined in addition to the said 3 months until the same be paid, not exceeding 147 days. That was on December 23rd, and then another notation here on December 23rd, 1901, by a deputy marshal whose last name I can't begin to read. certifies that he received the written order of commitment on the 23rd day of December 19-1, and on the 23rd day of December 19-1, I duly executed the same by placing the therein named Babe, an Indian woman, in the Rampart Jail, dated this 23rd day of December 19-1, by George, looks like D-R-E-I-B-I-L-B-R-S, but I'm sure that's not right. May 19th, 19-2, this is a later notation that's placed in here, prisoner discharged upon expiration of sentence. So Babe, forgiving an Indian woman, served her sentence for giving whiskey to other Indians. The same day, December 14th, 19-1, Lucy Albert, an Indian woman, is charged, brought to court for the same violation. And then the commissioner notes that the above-named Lucy Albert, an Indian woman, having been brought before me for the crime of giving whiskey to an Indian, and the said Lucy Albert, an Indian woman, having thereupon been therefore duly convicted upon a plea of guilty, I have adjudged that she be imprisoned in the Rampart Jail for a term of 3 months, and that she pay the costs of this action taxed at $114.35, and that if such costs be not paid, to be confined in said Rampart Jail at the rate of $1 a day until such costs for be paid, not exceeding the 3 months and the 51 days or 21. I can't read that. At any rate, she's put in the pokey here in Rampart. And a notation is made here that on May 19th, 19-2, that the prisoner was discharged upon expiration of the sentence. I think the reason that the court costs in this case were so much higher, $114.35, is that Lucy Albert, an Indian woman, was from Tanana. The deputy had to go to, Deputy Marshall had to go to Tanana, apparently, to arrest her, serve the warrant, arrest her, and then return her to Rampart for trial. Case number 35, dated December 23rd, 19-1, is the United States versus W.J. Hamill. Hamill had a jury trial, and on December 24th, it's noted by the commissioner that the charge was aiding a prisoner in the lawful custody of an officer. To escape. At any rate, it's not very clear here. Apparently they're trying to get somebody out of jail. He was found not guilty. He was just charged in custody. Wasn't long before there was more action in court. On January 3rd, 19-2, there's case number 36, United States versus Yeska, Y-E-S-K-A, Yeska, an Indian. The complaint was made by Edward J. Knapp, K-N-A-P-P. Commissioner notes that the above-named Yeska, an Indian, having been brought before me in a criminal action for the crime of assault and battery, and the said Yeska, an Indian, having been thereof duly convicted upon a plea of guilty, I have adjudged that he pay a fine of $25 and the cost of this action taxed at $20.10. And be imprisoned in the Rampart Jail until such fine and cost be paid, not exceeding 23 days. Skipping over to May 31st of 19-2, there's case number 49, United States versus M.T. Let's see, can't read that. Looks like McCaw. At any rate, it's filed by Lucy Baggage. That sounds like a rather assumed name also. Commissioner notes that M.T. McCaw, having been brought before me in a criminal action for the crime of assault and battery, and the said M.T. McCaw having been therefore duly convicted upon a plea of guilty, I have adjudged that he pay a fine of $100 and the cost in this action, taxed at $12.15. That'll teach him to beat up Lucy Baggage. Then on August 3rd, 1902, the case of the United States versus John Lindblom. The old magistrate really lowered the boom on him because he charged him $300 plus costs, which were $25.15. So the defendant paid the fine of $325.15 and was discharged. Commissioner writes, the above-named John Lindblom, having been brought before me in a criminal action for the crime of giving spirituous liquors to an Indian, and the said John Lindblom, having thereupon been duly convicted upon a plea of guilty, I have adjudged that he pay a fine of $300 the cost in this action, taxed at $25.15. Next one noted was October 15th, 1902, United States versus E.H. Yander. The charge, larceny. The larceny was apparently for stealing an item of the value of $2. Yander was arraigned, entered the plea of guilty, and the court advised in the presence, that I have judged, and he be imprisoned in jail at Rampart for 6 months, and he pay the cost of the action, taxed at blank dollars, that be he imprisoned in said jail after the expiration of said 6 months until said costs are paid. Wow. For $2, he got 6 months. I've got another book in front of me now that begins with January 1st, 1901. These are disbursements and fees. According to the present Commissioner Harry Havlak, before 1901, there were separate recorders on the various creeks, like Big Minook and Ruby and I don't know, the Slate Creek and Hunter. They had their own recorders, so those affidavits and proceedings are in other volumes, and those volumes have been called in, apparently, by the Justice Department or the Judicial Division of the State of Alaska to be placed in their archives. These volumes that I'm looking at today and others that are here in Rampart certainly should be placed in the archives at the university or some safe storage of the state of Alaska. All of these have been water damaged. I think it was about 1963 or 64 when the Rampart River jammed below Rampart, the village of Rampart. And ice coming down river jammed for, I guess it was a long, long, long ice jam. At any rate, ice coming down river continued to pile up, and it was forced up on the shore, wiping out quite a few villages in the city of Rampart, in the village of Rampart. Water was about 5 or 5.5 feet high in the recorder's office. To say all of these volumes have been damaged somewhat. Hopefully they'll be taken from here one of these days. Some of these old ones, I can see that they're of no use for present day. Like this one, these just notations of fees paid. I'll read through a few of these on January 1st, there was a fee of $1.50 received from Alvin Leibes. Apparently it was a deed. January 4th, three affidavits of proof of notice. Probably of proof of notice, either for filing maybe or for assessment work. And then January 25th, there's a received from Thomas Tweet, swearing to the affidavit of annual labor on his mining claims. Another affidavit on the 29th, affidavit of annual labor on his claim, by George Emmert, fee of 75 cents. And on February 1st, acknowledging and lien, Frank Stevens. Cost him 75 cents to register that. This isn't the actual register. This is just notations of fees. I'll flip the page over here. Go into May of 19-1. Here's J.B. Wingate. Paid a 75 cent fee for an affidavit of proof of publication of notice to creditors. And then $1.50 fee is noted next paid by Edmund J. Wigan for acknowledging acknowledging a mortgage, recording a mortgage. And then Robert Johnson paid a 75 cent fee on the 28th of May, 19-1. I'll read through some of these names paying fees in May of 19-1. Cerro, A-C-E-R-O, Teague, J.B. Wingate, Edmund Wiggins, Charles B. Allen, Hugo Maestrom, Carl Lindstrom, H.J. Roden, R.C. Jenkins, Alvin Hicks and Herman Hobby, J.W. Duncan, Charles B. Allen, Robert Miskin, George Klaproth, Edmund D. Wiggins, Robert Johnson, J.B. Wingate, E.J. Knapp, O.A. Diver, Charles B. Allen, W. Frank Hyatt, George Aproth, George Thisbe. Notary. These are notary fees. Oh, I see what these are now. These are notary fees. Yeah. These are charges for notarizing documents. Skipping back about a third of the way through the book, there's a section on recording fees for mining locations. There's Agnes Webb, W. J. Ingram, C. B. Allen, G. R. Shirley, Ole Thronson, Alaska Commercial Company, etc., etc. February 19-1, United States versus John Welch. The fee was issuing the warrant and making docket entry the same was $1.50. Swearing to the complaint was $1. Fees to the marshal for serving the warrant and mileage, $3.30. Taxing costs, $1.50. Giving and entering judgment, $1.50. Entering return of warrant, $0.35. Filing all papers in the case, $0.35. Total of $9.50. This book continues on into March, on into the year 19-2. Here's just pasted into this book is a number 166, a receipt for a U.S. postal money order issued January 8th, 1901, Rampart, Alaska. It was just issued in the amount of $4.93. Some of the people recording mining locations in February of 1902. V. O. Green, Lucy Carlson, J. W. Dodson, E. D. Howe, H. J. Roden. Then recording a deed on that date of February 6, 1902 is J. W. Dodson. Some more mining locations on the 10th, 13th, and 14th are Charles B. Allen, Frank Stevens, A.J. Belay, that's the commissioner we've been talking about, Charles B. Allen, and L.M. Williams. Another mining location on the 17th of February by E.F. Townsend, and then John C. Riley the same date, and Maddie Larson on the 17th of February signs, enters an affidavit of work on her claim. Bill of sale recorded that day by R.R. Stoddard, or notarized that day, I guess. No, it's recorded.